The Football Pod on Off The Ball in partnership with AIB.
Proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
Well, how's it going? And you're very welcome along to The Football Pod. It is Monday, the 8th of December. Paddy and James, how are you both doing?
Fantastic, Tom. How are you?
Superb. What a game of football we were treated to yesterday. And how shameful it is that we have to go to a refereeing decision right at the end of the game to talk about it, because there was so much good stuff that happened.
Are we starting at that point? Like what a game before. Stephen Sherlock, 16 points, doing one of the great things, having to pick up the man of the match interview, having lost. Oh Jesus. It was what a game. We weren't really expecting that, lads, were we? A game of that quality this time.
I thought it would be way more tentative. It was a savage game, very entertaining. Both teams going for it. Actually, the brand of football the Finbars played, I thought, was outstanding. I did not think they were going to come with that free-flowing, brilliant play. I thought, definitely for the first 40 minutes, I thought they were outstanding. They were playing a great brand of football. Obviously the wind, we weren't sure how the wind was on telly, but I think it was stronger than we realised. I think
it didn't look that bad on the telly. There must have been
that bad. I grabbed Mikey. I didn't record it, but I had a quick chat with Mikey Ganey after the game, and I just said, Jesus, fair play, you got your paws on a lot of ball and you came in. I said, what was the wind like? He goes, sitting on the sideline, you didn't realise it, in the middle of the field you couldn't get over how strong it was.
Really?
Far stronger than you actually copped it. And even, do you remember Sherlock's 2.3 that I don't know how was a 2.3? I think it actually should have been a 1.3, and the referee did say it was for two.
In the second half?
In the second, against the
unbelievable kick. Oh my God, what a kick.
reckless stuff.
But hey, the 45. At the 45-metre free that he hit off the deck, and he couldn't.
Why did he
go
off
that?
The deck when he was absolutely... Because that's it. See, we don't know what the wind. It obviously felt a lot stronger, and kicking off the ground against the wind is an awful lot easier than kicking off the hands against the wind.
Yeah.
So maybe...
But that was an easier kick than the one he got at the start. The one he got at the start of the second half was incredible.
I think he's in flow state, lads, I think, at that stage, because there was no chance he was missing that free from the corner. It was just...
You know, his point from play off his left leg in the first half as well was absolutely phenomenal. Because he just kicked a couple with the right, and you're thinking, how can he make this even better? Off the left from a tight angle after a couple of 1-2s. It was a brilliant display by Sherlock. I thought he was outstanding.
I thought he was running out of puff when he went down the line there. For that, because he just had a big play beforehand. Tom Sullivan was coming across to him. I think Tom Sullivan was kind of going, grand, he's not going anywhere here, and he swings to left at it. And it's just one of those periods where anything he touches is going over the black spot. So, but Thurles is such a big field, lads, as we know. And it's December, wet, size 5 O'Neill's, that ball ain't flying as far or as true as it does in June or July in the summer in Croker with the good weather. So, the kicking, Carrigani's free as well. They're all in step. Nearly 50 metre kicks. Dylan Ganey, the outside of his right. It was...
The bottle from Dylan Ganey.
It was incredible play across the board. And you said it, Jimmy, the bars were... They were so dominant around the middle. Maguire and Hayes. And then they control the game. Dingle, to be fair to them, were just hanging in there. They were just... Paul Ganey, he would remember the games like this, Jimmy, where he clearly had the better of his man. And he was getting loads of possessions, but it wasn't really converting into scores for him.
Yeah, he got a couple of balls out in the corner and things.
And it's he'd slip, or the ball, and someone would get a finger on it. And it was just in another day, if he got that many possessions, he could have had about 2-10.
Yeah.
And you just thought, is this... I think they're going to run out of puff here, and the Bars have done enough building up that lead. And then we get to the refereeing decisions. But what a game of football from the two teams. Jesus, it was spectacularly entertaining.
That's the thing with Dingle, I think, Paddy. They have this ability to create goal chances, because Ganey, his life is goals. It's every time he got it. Do you remember the he obviously hits the crossbar, he gets blocked down, which you'll probably get into. He gets the goal. But the one that he gave to he tried to pick out Conor Gainey when he gets the
brilliant pass.
Head.
As he's catching it, he's scanning. And he's come down, he's gotten a bang, and he's still looking for the exquisite pass. Like, he was a step above. I know he didn't, not as much converts as maybe he would usually, but like, when you have that threat inside, you can go very far.
Yeah.
1-2.
He got 1-2, but I think it's that threat, even the feeling of the threat. And like, it was funny, lads. I don't know how you felt watching it at home, but the speed of the Bears' attack, they were relentless. Like, they had so many shots. And they just kept creating stuff. And Dingle, in the first half, first couple of plays, you were like, oh, look at how maybe over-elaborate they are here. They're taking their time. They're bringing everyone in. There was nobody in the arc. The first 3 points came from little punch kick passes into the space in the arc.
Classic Kerry, the little pop pass to the D.
They tried to slow the game down when the Bears got on that run in the first half. And that's kind of when I was like, Jesus, the wind must be pretty strong here. They tried to slow it down, but it didn't actually really suit their style of play. When they get the goal, James, Sherlock is after putting them, the Finbars, 8 points to 4 ahead. And they're on top of midfield. They're after winning 4 Dingle long kickouts in a row. And Mark O'Connor wrestles his way in to breaking a ball down to Dylan Gainey. Dylan Gainey kicks one kick past to Paul Gainey, and all of a sudden, bang, beats his man back at the net. And then once again, in injury time, Sherlock has kicked that point off his left that Paddy's talking about. Quick move down the field. Gainey from nothing smashes the crossbar. And they go in, was it 5 points down at the break?
5 down. If he gets it one-on-one, particularly in club level, and that's what we've seen again over the course of the week. I've seen the Leinster club final as well. They're the inter-county lads. As you'd expect, they're a step above at this level. Like, Gainey's dangerous inter-county game, you know, with these rules. And he just felt any time he got the ball yesterday, he's something has got to happen here. He's so, so dangerous. Even that we'll get to the foot block gate. The way that ball is kicked in and he just judges the flight of it. You're like, he's definitely going to win this. He just had the flight of it and he's going to score a goal off it. And he very nearly did. So,
I think the both teams defensively will be unhappy with how they fared out. Like, Dingle didn't get a hold of Sherlock at all. And I think they gave him maybe, did he get 9 points from freeze? Maybe something along those lines?
He got 16 in total.
7 from play. He got 16 points from 14.
So he got nine frees. Like, that's an awful lot in a big game to be giving a fella that ability, those kicking chances. And as well, I think that the Bears got their matchup on Paul Gainey wrong. Like, for his goal, it's a great bit of play with the swivelled hips. But, I mean, I think it's Ryan, the defender, is that he just collapses because he looks at the hips rather than the ball, and Gainey just takes him. I think defensively both teams will be a bit concerned. Like, Dingle need to definitely tighten up the middle of the field because the Bears, that powerful running, like Ballyboden, are going to be doing the exact same thing down the middle of that field.
It's worrying for them. We see Ballyboden on Saturday night in Croke Park. Like, it's their USP for Ballyboden, that athleticism, power, classic, like, Dublin club. They're one of the right at the forefront of that over the last number of years. Dingle need to get a handle on that if they're going. Like, it was really a better matchup, the Bears against Bowden, with their physicality, with their midfield. But back to yesterday, you're right. Like, you know how accurate Sherlock is. Like, you know, he shows that with Cork when he gets his opportunity as well. It just felt like he had too much space. Like, the left footed score is exceptional because he works it. He kind of gets in and around. He gets on the end of things. But a lot of his scores were around the arc on the loop, and they're going like, this guy he's made for this. And I get the rules and 2-pointers, and there's a bit of a breeze. But if you're the Dingle defence, you can't be coming off. They're going, one guy has scored 16 points against us. They live to fight another day, and Sherlock was outstanding. Could have been even more. But I agree with you, Jimmy. There's probably a little bit to be going, we need to tighten up on that for an All-Ireland in the semi-final.
It's pretty hard to man mark a fella at 11, right? Especially when he has that range of kicking. Or is it? Like, should it be easier? Do you just tag him a la Myler on Paddy in the All-Ireland semi-final?
If he's that important. 100%. If he's that important, which he is, of course you do. Yeah, it doesn't matter where he's playing.
If he's worth 16 points. Like, number three or four.
Fuck's sake. Like.
But my point is it not easier to man mark a fella inside? Like, it's a different kettle of fish marking a fella in the half forward line.
It depends on your system.
Oh,
but
I don't think so.
Yeah, you can still tag him out there. Definitely tag him out there. No, if you're if you're playing a holding centre back, obviously you have a decision to make.
You need to be a bit nasty, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he does have so much space for all those points. You can just picture him.
But still, unbelievable so spinners. Like saying, Turles. I used to take a Turles. The weight of that size, 5-0 nails. Mid-December.
The spongy
and
soft.
And he was just sailing them over. It was one part of a brilliant, brilliant game. Like.
Yeah.
But the game comes down to, it comes down to Dylan Gainey deciding, I'm not going down without a fight here. Like, the cojones he showed, like that two-pointer that he got to bring him back to one. I mean,
59th minute.
What a score.
Big play.
If that doesn't go over, they're gone. Like, for him to even take that on, the responsibility, he just says, no, I'm taking this on, I'm going to get this two-pointer. And then obviously it comes down to that free, which we have to talk about. Like, I don't like it deciding the game.
Is this it? Are we getting into the free?
We have to get into the free. I mean, the free is a huge, huge.
Jimmy, what are your thoughts on the free?
I think they would do unbelievable to turn them over. Unbelievable turnover. Great tackling. Yeah. What a time. And they need to come down and get a point. I know what Tommy's going to say about him picking up the ball. He shouldn't have picked up the ball. But it's not like he throws it away. He's kind of just handed it back, and Dingle are always going to make a big deal of it and try and get the ball brought up.
I don't even think they do, Jimmy, do they? I don't think Dingle are like big shithouses there. Like.
Yeah. I mean, for it to be brought up to there to win the Munster final, and it was an unbelievable kick by Conor Gainey. Like, again, at that stage in the game, his legs like jelly, tired, nerves wrecked, and to still strike it like that, phenomenal. But if he had to pick anywhere on the field to kick a two-pointer from, it was that spot.
Yeah.
Do you know? So for it to be brought up to there, I did think it was harsh. And obviously, I'm Kerry fan, Dingle fan on the day. I was delighted. But for it to be decided on that, I thought was heartbreaking for them.
Abby, you're biting letter of the law here. Like, you were like adamant this was the
right
thing.
I'm not really letter of the law, lads, because I couldn't even tell you what a bloody foot block is, right? So I'm not letter of the law. But I can tell you that I'm fully up to fay with the current rule book, and certainly from playing it this year and being coached and being paranoid and being terrified of being somebody who gets done for something like that. James and Paddy, I'm not like, it absolutely is harsh. It's cruel. It's horrible. Just the bloody rules we've been playing all year. Like,
yep.
And,
but does he throw the ball away? No.
James, I haven't once said he threw the ball away, and I don't want us to get into a tit for tat.
Let's get in for
like
a tit for tat here.
Over the years, where
tit for tat here
picks up the wrong thing. He isn't the person who fouls the ball, right? He isn't the fouler. Okay, like, he shouldn't have had to have the ball in his hands. Like, I think it's innocent, but I also think we all know how to look innocent and act innocent on a Gaelic football field. And
so is the rule the problem here, Tommy? Is that what we're saying? Like,
but
the referee has applied the letter of the law.
We can absolutely say, right? We can absolutely say the rule is the problem. We can absolutely say it's too punitive.
Punishment doesn't fit the crime here.
We can say that, right? We can say that. But what are we trying to do here? Okay, like, has the principle of the rule for 65 minutes of the game cleaned up cynicism in Gaelic football? Yes. Does the solo and go speed up the game? Yes. Does the lack of descent now in Gaelic football, has it totally transformed it? Like, if you exhibit a bit of descent to the referee, ball has moved forward, it's totally changed the game. So
there's no cynicism in this specific incident. Yeah.
But I don't think he's being a shithouse here. Like,
James,
but
there's second.
I agree with you, Tommy. I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
No, I get you. I totally get you as well, lads. And I don't want to come across like I'm a stickler for the rules, right? But my instinct watching it live, I was right above it. Whether it's 50-50, whether Maguire overcarries it or O'Connor sort of AFL-style wrestling to the ground, that's whatever. That's separate.
No, I didn't think that was a free.
That was great tackling. I mean, the game...
Yeah, I thought that was all right.
So there, we're split on a tackle, right? The whistle is blown and the ball spills out. Whether or not you think that he meant to do it, there are seconds left on the clock. By picking the ball up, Dingle can't solo and go. Dingle can't take a quick free. It's slowed down by virtue of that. And then obviously there's a coming together, and it's very unfortunate, it's very unlucky, and the referee makes his call to move the ball forward, which he had done, by the way, 3 minutes prior when the Bars were trying to come out of defence. Dingle had a high press on. A free was given against Dingle. Mark O'Connor and Tom Sullivan, they barely laid a paw. They barely brushed his shoulder, but they sort of impeded his solo and go, and the ball is brought forward 50 yards. Stephen Sherlock has a 2-point free off the deck that trails wide. That could have killed the game.
Yeah.
If he kicks that, remember at the time, Ian McGuire has a little word and just thought, if he gets this, that now, is it.
The only mistake that the Bars made,
just the end only of mistake,
the only mistake that the Bars made was once the brawl was brought forward, that somebody didn't go nuts at the referee and get it brought forward another 50 metres and for a 13-metre free.
Can you do a 100-metre penalty, can you?
Because he would have had a serious decision to make to take the one and draw the game or come back for two. But can you bring it forward twice, 50?
Yeah, you can. So,
lads, if you remember when this was brought in back in, what was it, January or February, we did say this at the time. We said, imagine this was the All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
And that this was an issue. And I think that was more around when frees are brought up and then players are bringing it back outside the arc for a 2-point. Like, that rule has changed, hasn't it? We're right in saying that, Tommy?
No, if the ball is brought forward, you can bring it outside the arc.
If is that still is brought
forward, if the ball is brought forward, you can bring it back outside the arc. It's the only time you can bring a free outside the arc is if it's brought forward into the arc. Yeah. But like, I don't know. That'd be a very interesting.
It's unbelievably harsh because, as you said, I don't think he's actually being a shithouse here. But your points, Tommy, are well made, to be fair to you.
Try and tell Twitter.
Twitter's obviously the place for rational discourse.
No, I'm only joking.
Do you know what I would say? And I said it in the WhatsApp yesterday. Before that, I thought the foot block on Paul Gailey was the most stonewall foot block. Literally, the definition in the rule book. Gailey is going to score that goal there. And that's going to put Dingle a point up, with 56, 57 minutes on the clock. So you could say it kind of evens out, goes out for the 45. Look, it's a brilliant last ditch attempt from the Bears defender, but like Conor Gormley back to 2003 All Ireland final. Remember that block? But it was the replays, it was an absolute stonewall foot block. He lunges with his foot outstretched. Again, he calls for it. He called your buddies into question, Jimmy, the umpires who are standing there 3 yards away from it, who don't call it, just give the 45. Dingle missed that, you know. So
they were,
you felt that that probably went in the Bar's favour. but it's a brilliant kick. See the Munster GAA's clip on social media today. They have the behind footage of Conor Gainey's kick. Black spot. It's go on Munster GAA and Instagram. It's sails over. Again, as you said, Jimmy, the pressure, the fact that it's not to draw, it's to win. And if you miss, you lose. So there's no middle. You've got to nail this kick and it sails over. But for the Bars, it's a tough one to lose. I tell you, I'll remember this. We played Leinster Club Final 14 years ago, 2011, and we were level in injury time against Gary Castle. And we were on the attack and we turned it over. And one of their Gary Castle defenders out in the far side, O'Connor Park and Tullamore, just swings the leg at it. He's just fucking clearing the ball. And one of our lads, oh my God, comes in about 4 seconds late with a hero shoulder to this fella. And the referee gives a free from where the ball lands down the other end of the pitch. And Desi Dolan steps up and kicks it over the bar and the ref blows the whistle. And we lose by a point. Now we've no one to blame. It was our own fault. But we never got back. We never got back to that position. And you've seen the reaction of Finbar's players yesterday. Will they ever be in that position again? This one's a bit more clear cut. You could say it's maybe their own fault, but it's so harsh. And as you can see from me 14 years later, I'm clearly over that defeat. fucking Desi Dolan. It was a great score by him, but Jesus. I'll never forget it, you know.
That is a tough one, but you know, like in the Bears Dingle game, I think the Bears had chances, and like
They did.
When you have your purple patches, when you have your chances, you need to convert, because it gives the opposition so much energy and so much wind if you're missing chances. It's like, they're not putting us away. We're still in this. And for Dingle to hang in there, hang in there, show that mental strength, decide, and then for Dylan to decide, today's my day. I am stepping up here. I just thought that was inspiration. I thought it was class. And, I still think... You know, the Barons probably played the better football, but the fact that Dingle did everything right down the stretch and got those unbelievable scores, they, you know, you have to say they deserved it in the end, and all credit to them.
It was that, Jimmy, wasn't it? You just felt like if there was, it was one more punch and Dingle were gone, like.
Yeah.
Like that, we said it. I think it's the play before this. The Barons number 10, the wing forward, is in the D with a shot to just... To kill it, Sherlock's 45-metre free to kill it. The couple of possessions, just trying to manage possession. Like the Barons had it in their hands, and they did so much right throughout that game. But again, you just come back to Dingle. When the shit hit the fan, not just Dylan Gainey, but yeah, the big plays down the stretch, they're the guys who executed it. To get the ball back, create that situation where the free is brought forward, and then to nail the free, it was... As neutrals, it was absolutely spectacular. What a game to watch at this time of year. And for heartbreak for the Barons, but for Dingle, what a victory. What a fucking
doesn't
victory.
Doesn't it prove as well? There's two games. There's the first 55, and then there's the last 10. Like, all you got to do is set yourself up to be in with a chance.
Just be there.
And then it just comes down to what's in there, what's in the stomach. And do you have the skill levels? And Dingle had so much skill in the Gainies. They had so much there to rely on and to dig it out then. But they just gave themselves that chance in the last 10.
It's such fine lines though, lads. Like, we talk about Sherlock's 16 points. I thought his biggest intervention watching live was the interception in the corner on one of the Gainies.
Our side. Yeah.
Like, the Barons have...
That's the shot they miss, isn't it? They put it back and that's the miss.
Buckley puts away, and like Brian Hayes right behind it. Brian Hayes is celebrating. He's sure it must have just trailed wide at the last second.
And the shot was on. He just pulled it.
And then next thing, you know, it's a short kick out, but Dingle turn it over again right before the Maguire. Like, one of you says it's over carrying, the other one says it's a foul for the free. The other way,
I think we're in agreement on that.
No, I don't.
I didn't think it was a free.
James did. James thought it was a free to Maguire.
When?
I got it wrong. I thought you were born on different sides. But did somebody say that it was the actual definition? Kieran Doolan's unbelievable block for the Barons. Who said it's the literal definition from the rule book?
Me, because I've clearly read the rule book.
Do you want to hear the actual rule?
Does this say whatever he did is not a foot block?
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Rule, aggressive fouls, 5.1. To block, by the way, I absolutely... I'm not a fan of this rule at all. But to block or attempt to block with the boot when an opponent is kicking the ball from his hands.
That's literally what he does.
He lunges, his leg is at full stretch. His leg is at full stretch to block this.
It hits him in the...
His arms are by his side.
Hits him in the lee roji. That's where it hits him.
Where the tie, he still stuck his leg out. It's the
definition. He stretched with his leg to block this leg.
Okay, look, I'm never going to be a referee anyway. Jesus Christ.
No, it's a foot block.
Yeah.
And again, that would be the talking point.
Fair
if
enough.
What happened didn't happen. Do you know, we'd be really... That would be such a big decision. But again, I think your umpire needs to help out the ref there, because the defender is running straight at the umpire. He's stuck out his leg and the umpire hasn't
called it. 3 yards away. Gainey's kind of just going like, what's the story here? Like, this is Stonewall foot block. I thought he could have made more, but anyway. He was in shock.
I think the umpires have to be really, really tuned in, like, at this stage of the year, because the ref needs help. There's so much going on. There's so much passion. There's so much energy in the ground. The umpire needs to be able to help out the ref there.
You know what, lads? We're going to see more of the same on Sunday. Scotstown and Kilcoo, like that. This Ulster club final, we can call it right now, is going to go down to the last 2 or 3 minutes again. And two teams who have been on their own a long time. You're talking about teams that will have the nous and the know-how to manage those situations. I think we're going to see that on Sunday. I think it might be a lot cagier, I would presume, than what we've seen in Temple Stadium yesterday, and definitely than what we've seen in Crow Park in the Leinster final on Saturday night. But he's both said it, left the margins. Club championship at this stage, it's right to the wire.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. James, have you any colleagues from West Kerry?
What do you mean, colleagues?
Like people that didn't show up to work this morning, because Anguille took one, the Munster Intermediate title as well.
No, I don't actually. I'm sure they had the time booked off in plenty time.
A week. They'll be back in January.
Gaeltacht beat us by a point. So they'll be strong. They'll be hard to beat. But do you know, in the senior, in the last 20 years, right, the Munster team has lost the All-Ireland semi-final 15 times.
Wow.
So, like, Munster's not the strongest from here on, do you know? Dingle can kind of play at senior level, yeah. Dingle can kind of play on that. We're the underdogs. We're going up here. We have a couple of things to improve on. And I think even Conor Gainey said it in his interview. He was saying we're in pure bonus territory. Like, that's the way. That's a great way to go into a semi-final. You know, shackles off, no pressure. Look what we've done already this year. Let's go out and see what we can do. But Bowden are going to be very, very strong. So it's going to be Bowden and Dingle, and then
Dingle. Bridget's against the winner of Sunday.
Against Kilcoo or Scotstown.
Yeah.
Paddy, it's strong. And the amount of teams that have gone, and it's still so strong, do you know?
Yeah. Still so strong, exactly. But it's top of the pops at the minute. Paddy, like Ballyboden, 218 to 114 win against the tie. Like there's, what, 7 points in that? It was a bit more than that on the day. Like,
yeah.
I thought across the board, like, Ballyboden were very, very impressive. Very impressed with Paddy Dunleavy. Long, stringy, obviously involved with the hurler, scores a goal, but very athletic, very powerful. Looks like somebody
that, Ballyboden are like.
If Ger Brennan and one of his 12 scouts were watching this game, I'm sure Paddy Dunleavy might have stood out. But like, you look at that attack as well, like Dara Sweeney's been doing loads of scoring for them throughout. But like, Ryan O'Dwyer is really impressive. You've got Ross McGarry, the Basquels, obviously, who we know with the Dubs. Like, there's a lot of quality there.
Yeah, but like you said, like, Ross McGarry's been out with Dublin for the last 4 years. So Alex Gavin around the middle. You know, Darcy obviously one of Galway's best players around the middle third. Like, Ballyboden, this is a classic Dublin club situation we've seen over the last number of years. We've seen it with Kilmacook Crokes when they were dominant. We've seen it with Coola and last year's All-Ireland win. There's 15 players or 18 players, whatever 15 players are on the pitch, they're all of a certain physique, athleticism, powerful. And it's such an advantage at club level. And particularly you put them into Crow Park. A tie, you've had a brilliant year, kind of upsetting Ace. We've seen them doing probably this to Summerhill a couple of weeks ago in Connellets Park, but you get into Crow Park, that power and athleticism, there's just a baseline, and Ballyboden have been like this for the last decade nearly, where like 1 to 15 they are just, you've got to be strong, fit and fast to deal with them, and the likes of an Alex Gavin or Ross McGarry gets man of the match, you know, that's what 4 or 5 years involved with an inter-county setup does for your athleticism. And it's such a difference at club level. And I mean, you see that. I thought Saturday was just an obvious example of that. And then Crow Park really emphasized that even more because there's more space. It's a bigger field. But for Bowden, it was, they have all of that. And then they've got that little bit of magic with the likes of Colin Basquels, probably along with Paul Mannion and Shane Walsh and Conn, the best forward in the club championship in Dublin for the last decade. You know, he's an All-Star in 2023. So again, at this level, you see performances like him or Sherlock for the Bears the following day. It just, they're a cut above. And Kevin Feely was kind of fighting a good fight for a tie between the middle and playing inside as well. It's been a brilliant year for them, you know, winning the Kildare Championship and kind of getting their hands on that trophy. And it's really, as you said, Jimmy, with Dingle, bonus territory for them. But Ballyboden would have been big favourites for that the weekend. And they just showed their strength. And looking ahead to an All-Ireland semi-final against Dingle, you'd have Bowden as favourites on what we've seen as Dingle's kind of fairy tale season so far. If they don't get the grips around that middle third and deal with that power game, it's not going to be in Crow Park and conditions. It's going to be the first weekend in January, so it could be a complete fucking mud bath as well. But Bowden look just strong, really, really strong all over the pitch. Hard to play.
And you have the Mark O'Connor you know, conundrum.
Tickets.
Like, are they going to be looking for him back in Geelong, or is he going to be playing? I mean, you're already thinking that maybe Bowden might be strong around the middle, even with Mark O'Connor playing for Dingle. Mm. If he's gone, you know, that will be a big blow to Dingle.
And young Nash, who comes on, and Mikey Ganey make a big impact. But have either of them started a knockout game in the last couple of weeks? They probably haven't. Like, the tickets were booked. The two Ganeys told me afterwards that Mark is flying back tomorrow. I was talking to Mark himself, and the tickets are definitely booked for today. The Dingle management afterwards were saying, sure, there's no way we'll get clearance for him to play in the new year. Do you know, we've been doing it on a week-to-week basis. They've been very good to us. He'll be in the middle of his pre-season.
Yeah. But all of those, you know, he'll be mad to play, obviously. He'll be mad to play, but
yeah. James, you probably would have missed Pat Warren when he was in with Kerry. I might have been on training panels and stuff, but he played a bit of league football at Kerry in 22 and 23.
Yeah.
He's wing back for Ballyboden. Peter Healy from Antrim.
Guinigula,
in the corner. Yeah, Guinigula, okay.
Yeah, very good player. Very good ball carrier, fast. Hamstring problems curtailed his intercounty career. A lot of hamstring issues. Went abroad, and then he's doing well this year now, playing wing back for the boys. So
okay,
he'll have to be stopped.
The Football Pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Club Championships in ladies football, hurling, camogie, and it obviously supports the pod as well. So we'll be back right after this, looking ahead to the Ulster final next weekend and a few other bits and pieces. We might actually reveal our next episode of the Football Pod Club too, because our episode with Pork Joyce went down as well, lads. Went down very well. So fair play. We're back right after this. Got a message on Instagram from Rudd's Sport. Morning, Tommy. Hope you're well. I hope that the Clare versus Tara match gets a mention on the pod. This is the Ulster Junior Football Final. A great travelling crowd, a cracking match in Stewartstown on Saturday night. And as a Tara supporter, I'm so proud of our boys. 13 of the Tara team are London born. 13 of the starting 15 are London born. Gutted to miss out so narrowly. Best of luck to Clare in the rest of the competition. So that was the Ulster Junior Football Championship Final. Clare Aerog of Tyrone beaten Tara Gaelic Football Club of London 211 to 113, so just a point in that one. And that was a really tight one there up in Ulster. James, just a quick one for you. Brian Hayes obviously had a big influence for St Finbar's at the weekend. If Brian Hayes now decided, obviously one of the best hurlers in the country, decided he wanted to play for the Cork Footballers next year, would you be worried as a Kerry man, seeing how influential he has been for the Bears this year? And he obviously has a Munster football title under his belt from, back in 2021, Munster club football title. He started underage level for Cork at both senior level, at both hurling and football. But if he could do it, if he could play, be a dual star, you know, leave him in the corner in the hurling, play him in midfield in the football, he could cause a bit of damage to Kerry.
Absolutely. There was one ball he caught in the first half over Mark O'Connor, which was absolutely unbelievable. And obviously he has the physicality. Like, the hurlers, they're so strong. Like, there's obviously a difference in the strength and conditioning between the hurlers and the footballers, but, like,
you watch a lot of hurling,
seem to have this massive physique.
He'd be big on the hurling.
I'm not as up to date in the hurling as he is, because obviously we're all-around football champions. But he has a lot of strengths as well in the football. Obviously, he's unbelievable in the air. He's got the legs. He's an eye for a goal, obviously, in both codes and a point of football. I think he'd be a brilliant dual player, but it's not really feasible, is it? It's not going to happen.
No chance.
But I think, honestly, from what he's shown in the county championship and in the Munster this year, I think he's an outstanding footballer.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's disappointing for Cork to not have access to that kind of a player. Now, it does make a difference.
Yeah,
but quality. the duel is not going to happen, is it?
No, it's not going to happen. Quality footballer. Stephen Sherlock returning next year for Cork is a big bonus for them as well. Obviously, such a quality footballer, you want to be seeing a fella like that at intercounty level, where possible. Kilcoon Scotstown, we're going to talk about that in a moment. Just a quick one: we recorded our third episode of the Football Club in the Knoll at the weekend on
beautiful
Friday.
Cozy, very cozy,
really nice. James, you were sitting beside the fire, so you were under a bit of pressure, a bit of heat during the chat itself. But a very enjoyable time. We caught up with two of Dublin's All-Ireland winning stars, their captain, Carla Rowe, and their superstar, AFL, obviously career in Melbourne as well, Sinead Goldrick, who's been with the Dubs throughout all of their success over the last little while. Really, really enjoyable episode, wasn't it?
It was. I lost every ounce of water in my body next to that fire. By the end, my mouth...
Your arse was in the fire, Jimmy.
It was a lovely spot, though. A beautiful pub. And the girls were sound bang on. Great chat. Yes. I thought it was
it was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Two great stories, and obviously the Dublin story, like the emotion on the field after they got the job done this year. Sometimes, I don't know, obviously winning is brilliant, but sometimes it means a little bit more for different reasons. So we learned a little bit more about that from the two of them. And yeah, it was very good of them to take their time out and come out and chat to us as well. So we had a great time. The only thing we were missing, a cozy little pub shut down for us with an open fire. The only thing we were missing were a few pints on Friday evening.
Life gets in the way, lads, isn't it? We're all on the road out of there straight away.
It was grand.
There'll be other days. But no, it was great. It was. I look forward to that episode coming out now. Yeah, definitely.
I had three cans of Guinness at home watching the Toy Show after. I was trying to go for a pint in town, but...
Do you enjoy it?
I did. I enjoyed it.
The two little stars, Keelan and Dylan, they were the kind of stars of the show.
Lads with Keno climbing the thing.
Yeah, two lads were brilliant, though, weren't they?
It's a great show. It's just on very late, lads. Very, very late. Half nine.
Did Hugo stay up for
it? Did he? Fuck. I didn't stay up for it. Half nine. It doesn't finish after midnight. It's for the kids. Come on. You got to put that on at eight.
Do your
eight
job.
Till. Even 8 till 11 is late.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But am I right in saying nearly 4 million bob raised?
Yeah, seriously.
Some go. Magic.
And yes, CMAT announced that. I'm very jealous of all my buddies from Dunboyne. CMAT turning up to a local in Dunboyne, Brady's at Dunboyne, and performing
inside the pub.
And the better, that's just class, you know? That was cool. I saw that in a lot of Instagram stories the weekend. Lads, Kilcoon Scotland this weekend. Before we wrap, before we go, Paddy, you mentioned earlier it's going to be tense, it's going to be tetchy, but it's going to be a quality game of football as well. It's going to be well worth tuning into. Kilcoo with unbelievable pedigree over the last decade in the competition, All-Ireland winners in recent years, and Scotstown, who have cleaned up in Monaghan in lots of ways, but have just fallen short in Ulster. But
knocking on the door, knocking on the door.
Stacked with talent. What way are you sensing this one, Michael?
Like, it's flip of a coin, isn't it? There's a case for both teams. Like we said earlier, in comparison to the Munster final yesterday, there's that experience on both sides to try and control and manage that down the stretch. I think it's going to go down to the wire. I'd like Scotstown to win this one. Just their story and the knocking on the door, but then Kilcoo, obviously, they've got to the promised land before, an incredible win a couple of years ago, beating Kilmacud with the last kick of the game to win there in All-Ireland. So, it's a tough one to call. Look, if it's anywhere near as entertaining and as gripping as what we saw in Turles yesterday, we would be in for a treat. But I think it's going to be high quality, but it's going to be cagey.
James?
No idea. Absolute toss of a coin. Two games again. The first 55 or 60 and then injury time. Two games. It's impossible to call these games. Impossible. When there's so much heart and, you know, reason to play and reason to give your everything, it's impossible to call these games.
Is it on? Is it on in the Athletic Grounds? Yeah, presume. Yeah.
Who are you calling, Tom?
I just think, like, what's Scott?
You're up in it, are you? Are you
no, I'm not. I'm away. I'm in New York, boys.
Oh, sorry. Start spreading the news. Yeah, very
hopping
good.
On a jet plane on Saturday. Mm. So there may be no football pod next week. This is our last football. Oh, no. We'll have our episode with the Dublin Women's Footballers going out next Wednesday. So our Wednesday week. So that'll be your last football pod of Christmas. And we're back then the first Monday of January after the All-Ireland semi-finals. Just to mention just the Maguires, young Malin in Scotstown. I think they've added a lot. They've got Seth McCarthy back now after injury. He's only playing an impact role. But I think if Scotstown can get over the line, that'll be a hell of a semi-final against St. Bridges from Roscommon. But the Kilcoo, look at the Kilcoo story, the quality of that team, the danger of the Johnstons, you know, the Brannigans, like, they're just so good. Yeah. So it's a massive challenge ahead
They've been around a long time as well, haven't they?
You hardly saw, there's a couple of comebacks at the weekend that were absolutely glorious. Richie Hogan, retired / unretired, came back for Dainsford, come off the bench.
Seen the clips, yeah.
Scores a goal, unbelievable goal. Did you see Owen Bradley coming on for Glenillan in the Ulster Intermediate final at the weekend, no?
Goal with his first touch or something like
1-1 inside 2 minutes. But lads, James, I don't know who your barber is, but if you could show him a photo of Owen Bradley's hair, he's got a little kind of flappy bit up here on his... He just kind of
the high fade, high fade
jumps. Mm-hmm. It's class, but it's just it adds an extra little bit of panache to the corner forward. I think when you're thinking of a corner forward, you've got, you know, the flashy boots, you've got that maybe a little bit of wrist tape, but I also think a little bit of hair dangling there as well when you shoot or you celebrate. I think it's worth it too. But quality from Owen Bradley, yeah,
it's nice, especially blowing out your eyes then after you score.
Yeah,
have an extra angle. His highlight's real as well. His highlight reel at club level, every time they play. And I go onto Twitter, he scored some outrageous point or goal or the skill
he's,
level.
He's a shooter.
As I want to.
He's a
he
shooter.
Is a great soccer player. Yeah, he is silky.
Quality.
What's that word we have? What's that word we have?
A maverick?
No. U-M, isn't it?
Sugar. He got a bit of sugar.
He's a maverick.
He is a maverick. Lads, this Sunday, at Leinster Intermediate final, Salins against Tubbercleer. In the Leinster Junior Football Championship final, it's the Fighting Cocks up against Grange Galvin. And then on Saturday, as we mentioned, Lerwick Grounds, Kilcoo up against Scotstown. On Sunday, in the LGFA All-Ireland Finals, we have got the Intermediate, Caltracoombs up against Knockbride, and the Behemoths of the game, Kilcairn Clonburne, up against St. Ergnat's Money Glass of Antrim. Sorry, that's on Saturday, doubleheader. And on Sunday, the Junior finalist, Cremann, up against Muckalee. So, loads of football to keep an eye on at the weekend. You boys might have to... do it without me next week because I'll be away, but I hope you have a lovely build up to Christmas. I'm sure there'll be plenty of Santa visits with the little ones over the next little while.
There is
lovely and all those little bits and pieces. So everyone else, thanks for tuning in, and well done to all the winners at the weekend. Hard luck to those beaten. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, we'll talk to you soon.
See you, lads.
Thanks, Tom. Cheers, boys.
Scrap the rules.